Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. My name's Erin and I'm a hypnobirthing and antenatal instructor, birth activist and all-round birth geek. In this podcast, I chat to experts in the field of pregnancy and birth, debunking myths around birth, diving into the research around maternity care and exploring what is it that means you're more likely to have a positive birthing experience. If you enjoy this podcast, do feel free to buy me a coffee and fund my caffeine habit. Link to my Buy Me a Coffee page is in the podcast info. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. I am really happy to have one of my past clients on today to talk about her amazing birth story. Welcome, Donna. Do you want to introduce yourself to all the listeners?
Thank you for having me today. I'm incredibly nervous. Even though I do talk a lot, this is very different for me. I've never done anything like this before. So I hope everybody enjoys my little birth story. So my name is Donna. My daughter is now 7 months old. I'm 40 years old, so I'm classed as a geriatric mum in the system. And I do think it's important to say I do have disabilities. I have fibromyalgia, endometriosis, and polycystic ovaries, and a couple of other conditions as well. So my life isn't straightforward, and I was told I couldn't have children. So having my daughter was not only a massive shock, she's a miracle. I did do some healing on my body with a naturopath, and I think that's how I ended up getting pregnant. So weirdly and oddly, before I got pregnant, I found myself looking at loads of wild birth, rebirthing, and a load of stuff just kept coming up on Instagram just with regards like to birth, around birthing. And I didn't want children, I'll be honest with you. They frightened the hell out of me. And if anybody ever gave me a child to hold, I'd be like, what do I do with this child? They scared me. I'm not going to lie. So obviously getting pregnant, I was like, oh my goodness. So all these channels were coming up on Instagram and I was watching them. I was just amazed by these women giving birth, you know, just some of them were giving birth in the river, like with the animals around them, by streams, lakes, in the house. I was like, this is amazing. Like, how did they do that? I need to look into this. That's where my research started. I was just looking into hypnobirthing, looking into what actual free birthing was. And this was all based on Instagram. This is what kicked it off. I'm 40 years old. And when I found out I was pregnant, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what to do. I was like, do I keep this child? I've got disabilities. I'm on my own. I'm a single mum. I have carers coming in to help me. Like, I had to make a serious decision. And for me, my life's never been easy. And I thought, this has got to be the only way for me moving forward. And I made that decision. And then I hit the ground running. I was like, right, let's get on with this research. And all I knew was, excuse me, I didn't want any intervention or involvement in the NHS. I'd stumbled across your page as well before I got pregnant, so I knew a little bit about the system. And I wasn't an advocate for birthing in the NHS. Again, this is just my opinion, and I didn't feel comfortable with it. I used to work in the NHS. I worked for the ambulance service for 13 years. I was a dental nurse prior, so I knew what the system was like, and I knew that it wasn't for me. And if I wanted to have the birth, I wanted for me to be kept safe. My daughter, I felt the only way was to birth and birth at home. Now, I live in a tiny two-bedroom flat, and the challenge was, how on earth am I going to birth at home? And I managed it. I got my birthing pool, and it was brilliant. So, yeah, with all my research on board, I then signed up for your course and I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this on my own. Then I started looking into doulas because I didn't want a midwife there because I was worried about how pushy they were going to be. I didn't want any vaginal exams. I didn't want any interventions such as What's the word I'm looking for?
Like medical interventions.
That's it. Yeah, I just didn't want any I didn't want to be induced, that's the word.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
just wanted to go into labor naturally. I didn't want any scans. Although I did change my mind on that because my HCG levels were very high, and at first the NHS told me that either my baby had Down syndrome, which wasn't a problem to me, or I was having two babies or twins. I was like, oh my goodness, okay, if that's the case, I'm gonna have to have a scan. So at 20 weeks, I had a scan. Needless to say, they weren't very happy with the fact that I wasn't being scanned for my very first initial scan. They actually wanted to bring me in slightly earlier and do a 6 weeks one, or just after when they found out I was pregnant, because of the problems and history of my polycystic ovaries, my fibroids, and I refused. I kindly refused, and there is a way to do so. And I did find some kind of problem with that. It was more respect and boundaries. I didn't find them very, they were approachable, but I don't think they really understood my message and my story behind why I wanted to do these and why I didn't want any scans and the dangers that I have researched about scans, which they don't tell you about. So I just chose to have the one scan, and I found out I was having a little girl, so I was really overwhelmed. And to be honest with you, the scan was amazing. I was in there for about half an hour. They were checking everything over, and she was fine. And in some ways, I'm glad I did it because I got to see her. And it was amazing. The most amazing pictures of her heart and everything. I was really overwhelmed. I was tearing up, and I'm not an emotional person, but yeah, it was brilliant. So, I remember I think the sonographers, aren't they, that do the testing? Yeah, I remember him saying to me, like, why did you not have a first scan? I was like, just personal choice. And he's like, oh right, okay. And then I got my weeks for my dates bang on as well. And he's like, well, I've never seen anybody do that before. And I was like, well, I track my period, so it was fairly simple. So yeah, I knew from the start that this was going to be me. I was going to be doing this on my own. I needed to do my research, and I needed to know what I was doing. If I was going to birth at home, I needed to keep myself safe. And at any point, if I needed to call an ambulance for the midwives, I knew they would be there. Now, when I approached the NHS service, because it is optional, like it's self-referral, obviously you don't have to opt into the services, and I thought that was very interesting. You refer yourself. So I was open and honest with my midwife to a certain degree. I didn't tell her I was going to free birth as such because they don't like that idea. I just went along with the fact that I didn't want any interventions, and I explained my reasons why. I even had the old-fashioned listening devices. I can't remember what they're called. Instead of having the Doppler,
Oh, they
again, I wasn't.
use
That's it, the Pinard. Yeah, I even asked for that, and it was brilliant for them because they had to revert back to what they call as the old-fashioned ways. And a lot of students, I allowed a lot of students in because they'd never experienced it before. So I did opt into the NHS services. I had blood tests and urine tests. I didn't always attend them because I didn't feel they were necessary, but I always did let the midwives know. And they were supportive to some degree. Now, I remember when I first told them that I was going to birth at home in a pool, and they said to me, "You've got disabilities, you can't do that. How are we going to get you out the pool?" I was like, "Well, I got in there, so I'll get out." And they were like, "Oh." And I went, "And if there's any problems, we'll just let down the side, of the pool." And I said, "And there'll be either my aunt here or my mum here or my doula. They'll help get me out. There's not going to be, there's no barrier here. There's not going to be a concern." So there were small comments like that, which I was fully prepared for. And I had looked at a couple of other kind of birth people, and I'd read some books. I think it's Sarah Wickham that I maybe read. I'd read a lot of books about consent and knowing how to approach these things and how to speak to people. Because it's all right going and saying, I don't want this, I don't want that, but there's a way of doing it. And it's the same when I told them I didn't want to scan. The actual sonographer at the hospital, the head of the department, called me and said, "We don't get this very often, Donna. Can I ask you reasons why?" I said, I just don't feel it's necessary." And once I explained to her my reasons, she was very respectful. She knew I had a medical background. And, you know, regardless of that, she just said, "Look, I'm going to give you the risks. You can listen and then you can consent." So that was really positive. And again, to a degree, the midwives, they really were supportive. I had an older midwife who had a lot of experience, which in some respects did worry me because I thought she'd be quite stuck in her ways and not open to change. My modern ideas, basically. And she wasn't. She was brilliant, fully supportive. We did differ about a few things. When I went into the appointments, I did have to remind her about the Pinard and, you know, I didn't want certain things being discussed. And, you know, so I did have to remind them constantly. But I think as a service, they did try and do the best to accommodate me. And it wasn't until I got towards the end of my pregnancy, I was extremely exhausted. And with me being on my own, I didn't feel it was safe to drive. So I just said to the midwives, "Look, I'm not going to keep coming out." So they did come out to me. And I was healthy throughout my pregnancy. In fact, I was the healthiest I'd ever been. My hormones were balanced. I had a lot more energy. My first trimester was very poorly. But the second and third, I was flourishing. Like, I don't think I've ever felt that well in my life. And it was such a brilliant experience for me. So much so that I didn't really need to use my wheelchair. I had the hip problem in pregnancy, but I went to see an osteopath. He was fantastic. And he kept me going. Without that, I'd have probably struggled. So, yeah, I found pregnancy really wonderful. It did freak me out at first, having, you know, the thought of a child growing inside me. But once I started feeling a move, and it was very, very early on, when I started feeling a move, because I was so thin, I remember the consultant saying to me, "Well, you will feel a move because you're so thin, you've not got much body fat." And then he said to me, "And it's not good for you to be that thin." So I was like, "I know, but this is not through choice. I have got bowel problems, and I had problems with absorption, absorbing nutrients, which again corrected itself and righted itself during pregnancy." So I have a lot to owe to my daughter, really, because she's saved me in more ways than one. I'm not with her father, unfortunately. We don't have a great relationship. And she allowed me to move out of that relationship and see it wasn't healthy. So I owe a lot to her, an awful lot. And she will know about this when she's old enough and she's able to understand, because she's basically saved my life. As dramatic and drastic as that sounds, she's given me back my life, because I didn't have much of a life before. So, yeah, I was going home after my classes online. I was doing all this research, reading books, just learning about birth, learning about the logistics of it, the body, how it works, how contractions work. They blew my mind and how amazing that was. Then attending your course and meeting other people. That was really amazing. That was really helpful for me. But it did highlight how lonely I felt in my pregnancy, because I was on my own, seeing everybody with partners, doing the, you know, the preparations. Yeah, I did find that difficult. But I knew, I have conditions, so I knew I was in pain a lot of the time. And I thought I had quite a low pain threshold, which turns out I don't. It's quite high. So I was really worried, God's honest truth, that giving birth and having birth, you know, having the baby at home in the birthing pool, no interventions, no medications, no painkillers, that I would really struggle. So, you know, I as a person don't take any painkillers, any medications. I use natural medicines. I use, you know, aromatherapies. I'd still use hypnotherapy. I still use elements of my hypnobirthing. So that's who I am as a person. I use anything natural. I use anything holistic. And that's what I wanted to portray in my birth. And that's what I tried to put through. So the only way forward for me was hypnobirthing. Once I'd learned about it, and I'd read one book and then started looking into it using YouTube. Again, Instagram was brilliant for learning about these things, and then doing your course. I have my own hypnotherapist where I live. I've been seeing her previously for past trauma that I've had in my life, and brilliant, one of the most brilliant kind of healing tools that I've ever used. So I knew that this was going to be brilliant for my birth, and can I tell you, it was amazing. That and my auntie giving me Reiki whilst I was whilst I was giving birth, brilliant. I don't think I would have been able to cope without it. Using the breathing techniques, I think I used some of your birthing thing on the, what was it called, the box thing that you gave us?
Oh, box, all the downloads that I...
Yeah, the downloads, yeah, I used some of yours, and then I used some of my own as well. It's called Minds in Unison. And my doula was laughing at me because there's a guy on it. A guy, when you're giving birth, a guy talking over. It was a creepy voice, and she was like, Donna, I don't know how you're listening to this guy while you're giving birth. I'm like, I'm saying it's all right. I like him. His voice is calming to me. But she's like, no, it's creepy. I don't know how you're giving birth to him. Like, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. So I didn't actually use any of my scripts. I'd written my own scripts for my hypnobirthing. Didn't use any of them. So I'll tell you a bit about the start of my birth, really, my journey. So I hadn't realised I'd gone into labour. I started to feel a bit sick. And I just thought that might just be pregnancy, because I'd been feeling quite sick. And then started to get a little bit of backache, what I'd call like a period pain in your back, where during your lower back. I thought, this is a bit unusual. And I didn't think anything of it. I just carried on, going about my day. I think my mum would come to help out in the morning. And if I'm honest, I hadn't realised what was going on. I think I was in denial a little bit. So can I just tell you, as well, my daughter was born on her due date, bang on. She was, 24th of March, 2023. Everyone was like, oh, Donna, you'll go over. It's your first baby. I was like, first and last baby we're not having anymore. So they were like, oh, you'll go over, you'll go, it won't be 37, it'll be, I was like, oh, I've got plenty of time to paint my daughter's wardrobe, and do all my little bit. No, she was on her way. So I couldn't believe it. I was in denial. I was like, this is not happening. So I remember ringing my mum and saying to her, I think I'm in labour. And then I ended up downloaded a little tracker to track my contractions, because I thought, I'm sure these are contractions. But when I rang my doula and spoke to her, because I ended up with two doulas, I ended up with a doula that's a so she was a traveling doula that traveled around, and then I ended up with like a backup one in case she was called out or something happened. So I ended up having two doulas at my birth, only one of them wasn't there in a doula capacity. She ended up being a very good friend of mine because we were very connected. So she ended up staying and helping as well. So I remember ringing her saying, I'm having these funny bits. What does it feel like? She was like, Donna, they're contractions. I was like, oh. She was like, I think you should just keep an eye on them and just keep timing it. So I was like, oh, all right, okay. So there's me thinking, okay, so I'm in early stage level. It's going to be ages. Well, it wasn't really. I think I was probably in labor for like 2 days, which in hindsight is not that long. I mean, it didn't feel like that. It felt like 7 weeks. Honestly, what is going on here? Like, this is just going on far too long. So I was like, right, we'll get the pool up. So I'd been to a local charity, and they'd give me this birthing pool. Bless them, it was awful. It wasn't clean. The pump wasn't there. So I was like, I can't have this. I was trying to save myself some money. So I ended up going back, and I ended up buying one from the birthing, well, renting one, leasing one from the birthing supplies. This little thing was, it was brilliant. If anybody wants to know if the birthing pool I used, I can always let you know. I think it's called the Mirror. I can't remember, but it was a nice small one because my flat is so tiny. It's ridiculous. It literally took up the whole of my living room. So me, there's me and my mum blowing up. We have no idea what we're doing. The cat's running in and out thinking, what the hell's going on here, mum? So I'm like, don't go near the birthing pool, because if you pop it, I'm going to have to pay for this and I'm not going to be very happy. This is going to be stressful. So there we are. There's my mum in it. I'm like, you can't get in the birthing pool, mum, and blow it up. Like, it's not going to work. So there we are arguing about this birthing pool. And I'm trying to stay all zen, like, oh, I'm doing my breathing. So I left her to it. I got on the birthing ball, did a bit of bouncing, and it started to get a little bit more intense. So I thought, I'll get my Clary Sage out. I used that, just sniffing it. That was helping ground me. I'm quite a big fan of crystals. Got my crystals out, was wearing those. I bought some specific crystals for my birth as well from a local, my online Etsy store. This girl that I got my crystals from, she'd made a bracelet specially for me, so I used those. And then my cousin kindly gave me a TENS machine. So I thought, okay, time to get this TENS machine on. I was used to a TENS machine because I used it. I've used them for about 10 years on and off for my pain, for my condition. So this machine was slightly different because it was a birthing one. So I hadn't read the instructions. So please be prepared. I hadn't read the instructions of how to do it or where how to place them. So that took me a bit. And by that point, I was like, okay, I need this TENS machine on. So I don't know what I was expecting birth to be like, but it wasn't what it was like, basically. I think because of my endometriosis, I would say I've had some really bad pains, really bad periods. And I would say probably want about 1 to 4 or 5 centimetres dilation. I'm sure that's similar to the period pains. Put it this way, I would rather be in birth for that short period of time than have period pains, because mine are constant. Once I hit that period for that week, they're there. Do you know what I mean? So something's going on in the house. Just hang on. Are you okay? Sorry.
That's all right.
The chaos of the cat and the baby. I don't know what's going on. So I've lost my train of thought.
Talking about the TENS machine.
That's it. So I've got my TENS machine on and loved it. It was brilliant. Really helpful. They started to get a bit spicy. That's another word that I use. I don't even know where that came from. I was like, ooh, these are a bit spicy. Mum's like, oh, right, okay. I don't even know where that word came from. It's not a word I choose even to use. It was just, I have no idea. So I was like, ooh, that was a bit spicy as well. So I knew they were ramping up. So yeah, kept my TENS machine on. So I just did the settings on it. I don't know at what point I got annoyed with it. At one point, I felt it was aggravating my contraction and making it more painful. So I ended up taking it off. And that's when I got into the birthing pool. But I kind of went with it. I didn't have a plan in a sense of, this is what I'm going to do. You know, my doula's going to come here. I just kept them informed, basically, and made the decision that when I felt that I was ready for them to come into the home, you know, that's what happened, basically. So I'm just trying to think what happened after that. I think one of my doulas came round, my friend's Lucy, and we just talked, really. We watched a bit of TV. That was really good. So we watched Jack Whitehall. I think it's Whitehall. Yeah. We had him on in the background while I was, you know, using my techniques and grounding myself, basically. I did at one point go and lay on my grounding mat, because I've got a grounding mat at home. And that, again, can help with pain. So I also used homeopathy as well. That was played a huge part for me. Now, I had researched herbs that I used as well. So I was taking vitamin K in my pregnancy because I didn't want any vitamin K injections for the baby afterwards. So I was taking extra amounts of that. I had shepherd's purse tincture for any bleeding or hemorrhaging afterwards. The amount of herbs and everything that I had, tinctures that I had, just to be prepared, It was crazy. Can I just say they're still sat in my cupboard now? I only used a few of them. So I was fully prepared, and I did end up using them. So I will tell you about that. It was very interesting towards the end. So anyway, my doula came and we couldn't get the tap, the fixture on the tap. Luckily my kitchen's open plan, so I was just like, why did we not do this before? And Lucy was like, we did do this, Donna. I remember telling you that it was a bit hard to get on. I was like, okay, that just must have gone in one ear and out the other. So she ended up doing that, and then we ended up filling the pool. But in the back of my mind, the only thing I was worried about, and this is really stupid, I remember you saying to me, now make sure you empty your bladder, and your bladder's not full because the baby can get stuck. So that was it then. Every time the slightest bit, like I need the loo, I went and emptied my bladder. I said to myself, there is no way I'm peeing in this pool. No, and my doula was like, Donna, at some point you're gonna have to pee in that pool, you're not gonna get out. I was like, yeah, but my baby's gonna be born in that. She went, it's gonna be full of all sorts, don't worry. I was mortified. I was like, I can't. I tell you what, bad mistake. So, what warning to everyone, do not try and move before you're having a contraction. It's not fun. I thought I was timing it right and I didn't. I got up, didn't I? And this contraction came. Oh my goodness, it was spicy. So I was just like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. But I did find the water extremely relaxing. I was floating on my front, floating on my back. I was in every position going. And what I did was, after every contraction, I moved into a different position to find out if it was going to be less painful or more manageable. And I did find certain positions more painful. And I did find certain positions more relaxing. And I just went with it. I listened to my body. I'm very in tune with my body. People thought I was crazy. When I used to tell people I was birthing at home, they were like, but you're disabled, you can't have a baby at home. And I was like, well, why not? I can get in and out of the pool. Why not? What's the big deal? Well, it's really dangerous. Like, if I hadn't have been open in hospital, my baby would have died. I was like, well, how do you know that? I said, you know, interventions, if you have an interventions, you're more likely to have problems when you go into hospital. I know that. I've learned that. I've researched it. So I said, you do you and I'll do me. I've done all the research I need to do. I'm comfortable at home. If I go into hospital, the stress will knock off my oxytocin and this birth is going to be painful and I'm not going to be able to manage. I'll freak out. So the only place for me was at home in my birthing pool. Best decision I have ever made. Now, I'm never having other children ever. I've got one and I'm happy. But if I had to do that all again, there was nothing I'd change about that birth. Nothing. I'd still have my birthing pool. It was a brilliant experience. So while I was in the pool, I switched my hypnobirthing on, and I actually used it was Mind in Unison on YouTube, and it was just relaxation ones and an anxiety one. Ones I was listening to every night before I went to sleep to calm myself, and it worked. I'd get my Clary Sage out, I'd get some other comforting essential oils that I found helpful. I did have a comb, but I didn't use that. I'm not sure why. It wasn't one of my techniques, but I did use a lot of homeopathy. And again, I did go and see a homeopathist, and my doula did know how to use it, so I was lucky. But I'd written it all this out, like if I feel this way, this is what I need. I had the whole plan. It was all written out. It took me weeks to plan thoroughly, and it did go to plan. So my labour just developed. It just gradually developed. My mum was here through the early stages. And my auntie was here at some point, and her Reiki and a calming influence hugely helped me. And I just stayed in the pool. I got out occasionally, sat on the toilet just because I felt like I needed to. I got out and I used the birthing ball, but at one point that was getting too uncomfortable, so I stopped using that. I think I even got out and tried dried myself down, put my TENS machine back on again. Nothing was working. I found the pool more helpful, so I stayed in there. My doula was brilliant. She kept the temperature kind of warm for me, and I don't think at this point my waters had actually gone. And you will laugh when I tell you that when my waters did go, it was like a huge explosion, like a firework. And I think my words were, what the F in hell was that? And my dealer was like, oh, that's just your waters going. And all the stuff that came out, I think I was like delusional. I wasn't taking any drugs, but I think I was just delusional, the whole thing. And I was like, look at them, they look like jellyfish in the water. I have no idea. They were like, oh yeah, look. And we were making shapes out of all the liquid and the whatever had come out. And that's the way it went. We were just, you know, we were just going with the flow. So I found that was really funny at one point. But I knew it was serious when the interactions were coming a bit more intense. And then I remember, I don't know at what point I was, but I had like a back-to-back contraction. There was a few. So, you know, where you have a contraction, it builds up, it peaks and it comes down. Well, this one didn't. It started, it peaked and it continued and it didn't come down. I was like, what is going on? Like, hadn't read about this, didn't know what this was about. So apparently, speaking to other people, it's when the baby's moving and getting into position. So I hadn't learned about that. So she must have been moving into position. So I know that the most kind of comfortable position for me is one on all fours, you know, on my front. And that's the way I gave birth, because apparently my doula said to me, can I take pictures? And I said, yeah. But I don't remember at all. So it was only when afterwards she was like, I have to get all these pictures. I was like, if you'd have asked me if you could have taken pictures of me giving birth, I'd have said no way. And I'm so grateful. I've even got a daughter of my head, the head of my daughter emerging. It was fantastic. So yeah, I literally just went with it. And at some point, so I was like, I've got this, I can cope with this, I'm not having any pain relief, I'm good, I'm dealing with it. But when the transitioning phase came, that's when I lost my poop. I was like, no, I can't deal with this anymore. What is going on? I've had enough. And then my doula looked at me and was like, it's developing, Donna. I was like, all right, okay. So then I calmed down because I knew what stage I was at then. And I was like, I've learned about this. I've, you know, bring myself back together. And I literally, when the contraction came on, I just went into myself. I relaxed my face, floppy fanny. Did that, brilliant. Works that. Got in my little zone and I breathed and I just relaxed as much as I could. I got up and I was swaying with my auntie. She was helping. Then when my auntie left, my doula was there and they were helping me. And I think movement for me and just doing little bits. And yeah, at one point, apparently I was mooing like a cow. I didn't even know what was going on. It just a deep, and I felt like it was releasing all the pain, and it was like a ooh. Yeah, I didn't even know where that was coming from. I was like, I'm not going to be noisy during birth, I'm just gonna, you know. But no, it was just like an instinct, it just came out, and I found it was really helpful. I just let go. Just the more noise that came out, like a deep, I can't describe what it was like.
Primal noises.
That's exactly what it was. Fantastic. They really helped release whatever was going on. And I just kept working with it. And my body was exhausted. You know, I've got disabilities. I was worried. I'm like, at what point is my body just going to go, no, it carried on. You know, I'd say I was eating and drinking. I was having little snacks. I was drinking and I was getting up and going to the toilet, but that went out the window. I was weaning in the birthing pills. Like, no, we're not getting out anymore, Donna. It's just too much. So in the back of my mind, I was like, my bladder needs to be empty when this starts to happen. So I knew it was progressing because they were getting a bit spicier and they were coming thick and fast. And I was like, I'm not getting any break here. What? Like, this is intense. So I was using everything, every strength I had in me just to get through this. And I remember at one point I got the urge to push. And I was like, I was pushing and my dealer was like, what did we discuss about pushing? I was like, am I pushing? She was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I didn't want to push. I wanted to breathe the baby out. And I am not kidding, the urge to push as you'll know, if you've had children, it's so overwhelming. I had to fight that urge, fight it with everything I had. And I think even at the end, I think I gave in one or two times, but it came, the actual transition stage came quite quick for me. And I think if you spoke to my doula, she'd probably have a different kind of view of this. But yeah, it came quite thick and fast. I think it was probably a bit too fast. And I remember I had one of those really intense contractions and something shifted and my body was telling me to move. So I moved into the position where I think it's where you put your knees together, is it your ankles out, to open up your pelvis. I did that instinctively. I didn't even know I was doing it. And I listened to my body. I just went with it. Even the weird things, like my body was telling me to just do this, I just did it. I wasn't questioning anything. I just surrendered, basically. I was just like, okay, this is just, I'm just going for it. The next thing, I then remember, oh God, I remember it now. Plain as day. I remember this really intense, like, stinging sensation, really bad, like nothing I've ever felt before. And I'm just going to tell you exactly what I said, guys. I was like, oh my God, she's going to split through my clitoris. I'm not going to have one anymore. That's what it felt like. It felt like there wasn't, it wasn't pressure at the bottom. It was pressure at the top. And I was like, okay. So I started to lose control of it then because I knew what was coming. And I was like, Donna, you've got this far. And my doula was like, right. And she looked at me and I knew, I was like, okay. So I got myself focused again and I knew what was coming then. I was crowning, the head was coming. And it was, I didn't expect it to feel like that. It was beyond craziness. But yeah, there's me screaming, she's gonna split the clitoris. And I did tear up there. It not up there, I grazed. It was interesting, let's just say. And then I remember my doula saying, Donna, the head's out. I was like, is it? Apparently, I could feel her wiggling, a little monkey. So I'm waiting for the next contraction, and there's a picture of her. And she's like, she's a mouth open, and she's drinking the water out of the pool, and she's wiggling. And I'm like, I'm trying to stay calm because she's hurting, because she's wiggling. And she's like, right, the shoulder's going to come. The next thing, I just remember, again, I didn't push. I was just relaxed. The next thing, I just remember her being born. Because I remember, and my intention was at some point to catch her, though that went out the window. It just all of a sudden happened. And I remember my friend who was there, she wasn't working in the doula capacity, she was my friend, she ended up catching her because I was so overwhelmed by everything and so focused on what I needed to do. I was just like, I've given birth to my baby, I needed to catch her, and like I just didn't do it. So my friend was just like, oh, scooped her up and then put her underneath me. And I was just, I think I was in like immense shock. I was like, oh my God. And I've got a video of me saying, do we keep her under the water? And they both went, no, because they thought, and then keeping her head under the water, like, no, just a body to keep her warm. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. Like, giving birth for me has been the easiest part. Looking after a child is far more difficult than actual giving birth. But I got the birth I wanted. No intervention, no ambulances, no midwives. So I had my placenta encapsulated by a lovely lady. And I remember saying to me, in the back of my mind, I had all these little things that I couldn't do. So she said to me, whatever you do, don't birth that placenta in the pool. So I'm there enjoying the moment with my baby. I was like, I need to get out of the pool. They're like, what? I went, I need to get out of the pool in case the placenta comes. Because you just don't know how long you've got, do you? So trying to get out of the pool with a baby, placenta, cord, slippery, everywhere. I'm like, I'm exhausted. I've got medical conditions. Like, what? So I remember them just like hoiking me out of the pool. And I remember sitting on my sofa. Can I just tell you, it looked like a crime scene afterwards. Yeah, it was terrible. There were like incontinence pads everywhere. I put big sheets down. I'd actually used a waterproof mattress protector over my sofa. Ingenious idea. I thought I am not paying out for this. So I used it. I washed it, and it's still good to go. So yeah, the whole place was like proofed full of everything. So I was like, I've just bought a new sofa. I was like, no blood is getting on my sofa. It didn't. Not even a drop on the floor. Can you believe that? So I remember getting out, looking in the pool, thinking, okay, there's a bit of blood in there. That's fine. And all I remember saying to my doula was, can you just keep an eye on what's coming out? Because I was concerned. So I took some shepherd's purse tincture, just a few drops, just to be on the safe side. And I was fine. The only thing I didn't foresee was, there's me just exhausted, overwhelmed, enjoying my little baby, my little bundle of joy. The fact that she'd pooed all over me and I was trying to clean it up, I realised that this placenta was still in there. And I'm like, I said, guys, how long has it been? They were like, oh, it's been an hour. 1 hour passed to 2 hours, this placenta was still in there. And I'm like, we're going to have to ring the midwives. Like, we're going to have to get this out because my uterus closes back over. I am not going into surgery. Like, I would have done, but that was not what I wanted. And it was a fear. So I called them and I just said to them, I've gone into labour. I had the baby. The placenta's not been born. So my midwife did warn me that, because they knew I was having a home birth, they did say to me, look, the chances of us getting two midwives out to you, because where I live in a small town, is very slim. So she's like, you're going to free birth, aren't you? I was like, no. And I just laughed. And I didn't say anything. So I think she knew what was going to go on. Now, my midwife looked after me, didn't come out. However, two lovely midwives came out 3 hours afterwards. I know they were busy. So 3 hours afterwards, they came out. And I couldn't have asked for two nicer midwives. Really positive experience. They were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you've done this. This is brilliant. I told them the truth, what happened. They were like, well done. They checked the baby over. She was fine. They looked at my placenta. It did eventually come out. So they had a good look. And they were like, we're not sure what's going on here. They had a feel of my stomach. Because I was just like, at this point, do whatever you need to do medically to get this out. Like, this is not what I wanted, but this needs to now take over. I need to be sensible. So I've taken all my homeopathy to get to expel this placenta, my herbs, nothing's working. This placenta was only having a party in my vagina. Didn't want to get out. It was sat in the very, very top of my vagina. Now, I knew something was going on because I was getting angry. I was getting agitated. I couldn't sit down. I felt like a fullness, like a heavy weight. But I didn't know what that was. I just assumed it was because I'd given birth. Like, it's quite a big head. I thought it was just an empty, heavy space. It wasn't. It was my placenta. It had already come out. I just needed to push it. So I'd stopped getting contractions at that point. So I actually took myself to the bathroom. And can I tell you, trying to negotiate to the bathroom without making mess because we cut the cord at that point, 3 hours after, yay, got my little, you know, she got all her blood and all her essential things. So I was happy about that. But trying to navigate to the bathroom with a hanging cord, you'd have laughed. I had to use bowls and all sorts. It was interesting. I had to go to the toilet and put the bowl in the toilet in case the placenta did come out. So I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't foresee this. So what happened eventually was they injected me with I think it's the oxytocin, isn't it? Didn't need it, did I? Soon as they did it, the midwife had a look. She's like, I think this placenta's here, Donna. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just going to give it a little bit of a tug. So I panicked thinking, well, what if it's inside and she's tugging it and she creates a wound or something? And I nearly stopped her, but I was like, no, let her do it, instinct. So I did. She literally tugged, wiggled it, and it fell out. And I was like, she was like, Donna, it's been in there all along. It's I was like, oh, my God. Like, in hindsight, you don't know, do you, to do that yourself? So I made the right call. Do I regret it? No. They were brilliant. They actually helped clean up. So they were really, really helpful. They helped with the pool. Again, they looked over the baby. They checked my placenta. Like, it's beautiful placenta, really healthy. Then my placenta lady came out, as I call her. She was called Olga. She was like, this is the most healthiest placenta I've ever seen. I have an extremely healthy diet. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I eat pasture fed organic meats. Due to the allergies I've got, I don't eat any processed food. So she was really interested to see what this placenta was like. Now, the midwife said it was small, but my placenta lady said it was quite a normal size. I remember the tube being quite thin, the umbilical cord. So what she did was she took it away. She made me a smoothie with it, with a tiny bit. Then she took it away and I went for encapsulation. So she dried it with some herbs. And I think 3 days later, I got my little capsules in the post. Now, can I just say, for anybody who has suffered with depression previously, or anxiety, or has problems with hormones, this was essential for me because I now know what postpartum psychosis is, because I had it and I had very bad postnatal depression. And I think if I hadn't have had those capsules to settle me and help me, I don't know where I'd have been. I'd have probably been sent to hospital. So I think it was my homeopathist that actually gave me the details for it. And then I went away and researched it. So I owe her that, really, because that was one of the most important things. And once those tablets had finished, I think they lasted me about 60 days. Don't quote me on that. I noticed a difference. And I was taking three a day. So yeah, I also had my placenta made into little homeopathy balls as well, 200C and 30C, one for me, one for the baby. And can I say that I've used nearly all the 30C for a teething, so they have come in handy. So yeah, the placenta was really healthy. I was worried about actually drinking my placenta in this movie. You couldn't taste it. It tasted a bit zingy, but I would highly recommend that to anybody. And like I say, if I was having a baby again, there is nothing I would change about my birth story. Yes, I wouldn't really like for my little placenta to have a party up there and stay in there for as long as it wanted to, but that's just birth, isn't it? It's unpredictable and you need to just plan for it. And I had thought about it, and I did have a slight plan in place. So, you know, I'd gone through this with my doula and it just so happens that it worked out for the best. So yeah, I think for me it was a positive experience. And when I spoke to my relatives and my friends afterwards, they were in awe of me. They're like, they couldn't believe it, the fact that I'd had no intervention, no pain relief, and I literally had a few scrapes and grazes, getting into position, listening to my body, and you know, not pushing and just allowing this baby just to come itself. I cannot thank you enough for all the information that you gave me, Erin, and any other birthing people that have helped me along this way, because all that information has been invaluable. I've learned so much. Even my doulas, like one of the doulas that I had, Lucy, she was fantastic. Even silly questions asking her, like, how many vests do we need for the baby? I have no clue. Like, I'd message her at like 11 o'clock at night because these are the silly thoughts that are running through my mind. Nothing about the birth, really. It was all afterwards. I had the birth in my brain. I had exactly what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to do. And I always told myself I was safe. I knew what I was doing. And that I had, my intuition was you were going to be safe. My gut instincts, you were going to be safe. There's nothing going to happen here. You know what you're doing. And statistically, you are safer to have this baby at home. So there was no worry there at all. I actually didn't have any fear. I probably had a little bit of fear once it first started, just because I didn't know what to expect. And that's how I am. But I can honestly say that, yeah, it wasn't half as painful as I was expecting to be. Don't get me wrong, it is uncomfortable. It's not excruciating because you use your tools that you've got. But for me, that was an experience and I'll never do that again. So yeah, I'm just grateful for all the information and support that you've given me, and anybody else, any books that I've read, because yeah, my Instagram pages, it was fantastic. Like, I still look back at it now and look at my pictures and think, can't believe I did that. I absolutely can't believe it.
You're
So
amazing.
yeah.
You're amazing. I'm so happy for you. And I'm so grateful for you sharing that birth story with everybody that's listening, because you're inspirational. You're amazing. And I'm so excited to put this out there and have everybody hear your story.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
It's been lovely listening to your story, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. Thank you so much, Donna.
You're welcome. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Better Birth podcast and all of its content is for educational and informational purposes only. You should consult your midwife or your doctor for anything in relation to your own pregnancy and birth. The opinions and the views of the guests on the Better Birth podcast are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Better Birth or Erin Fung.